message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
Oscar Woodall and I were about to be interviewed for a television talk show one time, and about the time we were about ready to go on the air, Oscar laid a real bomb on the host of the program by explaining to him that we represented the only non-Pentecostal work in that part of that particular area. The host immediately, began to question that. Non-Pentecostal, he said, well, these denominations, so on and so forth, are not Pentecostal. And then Woody went on to explain, well, he didn't mean a denomination. He meant that we represented the only ministry in the area that did not believe that the body of Christ began or existed on the day of Pentecost. Most of Christendom believes that the body of Christ was in existence on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. Some believe it was there before Acts 2. And just carried on then, most of fundamentalism and evangelicalism would tell you that when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, that's when the church, the body of Christ, was given birth. I have a good friend told me one time, he said, the church, the body of Christ, was birthed on the day of Pentecost, and that's a standard doctrine. And of course, if you've been watching this program for any length of time, you know that we don't believe that. We believe that the Scripture clearly teach that the church, the body of Christ, did not have its historical beginning on the day of Pentecost, but rather came into existence historically with the salvation and commissioning of the Apostle Paul sometime after the day of Pentecost. Pentecost is God's program for the nation Israel. Pentecost is a Jewish feast day. It's the continuation of the prophetic program. In fact, it is a clear and definite fulfillment of Old Testament Jewish prophecy about God's purpose in the salvation program of the nation Israel, and it was a further step in bringing in Israel's kingdom hope with her Messiah coming and bringing in the great day of atonement. We studied last time about the religious calendar of the nation Israel, how Passover was fulfilled in the cross of Christ, and that Pentecost was fulfilled in Acts 2, and they were looking for the Feast of Trumpets, which is the regathering of Israel, and then the Day of Atonement, which with the second advent of Christ, the blotting out of their sins, and the setting up of the Feast of Tabernacles, which of course is a type and a picture of the millennial kingdom. So Israel's calendar of redemption was just carrying itself out, and there's just a further fulfillment of the prophetic program on the day of Pentecost. It's a great blunder for believers to assume and to assert the premise that and to confuse God's program for the nation Israel that was in existence on the day of Pentecost with God's purpose and program for the church of the present dispensation, the body of Christ. The departure from the prophetic program to the mystery program doesn't take place at the cross. It doesn't take place at Pentecost, but it does take place when you come to the ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven's glory commits to the Apostle Paul. And it's important to understand the distinctions between that prophetic program, the program of prophecy back here, that God had given by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began, and the program of the mystery that was revealed by the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven's glory through the Apostle Paul. The earthly ministry of Christ is in prophecy. The cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ is in prophecy. The fact that He'd be buried, the fact that He'd be raised from the dead, that He'd ascend into heaven, and the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, all of that is prophecy. The fall of Israel takes place, and when the fall of Israel takes place, Jesus Christ from heaven's glory up here saves Saul of Tarsus, the chief of sinners, a man destined for the wrath of God in the tribulation, and reveals to him a mystery. That is a secret realm of knowledge and information, a secret purpose that God had planned from before the foundation of the world back here, planned to accomplish it, but just kept it secret, didn't tell anybody about it. Ephesians 3:9 says it was hid in God. Well, you know something, if something is hid in God, it doesn't mean he didn't tell anybody about it. It isn't that he's short or tall and they didn't understand. It says that in other ages it was not made known. He says it was kept secret since the world began. That's very clear. There's an obvious, clear distinction between something over here in prophecy and the prophetic program and God's purpose and the outworking of the prophetic program and God's purpose in a secret mystery program over here in the dispensation of the grace of God with the formation of the church, the body of Christ. Now, Pentecost is just another step in this program back here. It's a big day in the minds of people, just like Calvary is, because Calvary is where Christ dies for our sins. Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit came on the nation Israel to inaugurate the new covenant with the nation. But my friend, subsequent to that, God Almighty stopped his prophetic dealings with Israel and introduced a new program. And consequently, the program on the day of Pentecost no longer operates. But rather there is a new program, a different program in operation today. And the Pentecostal program is not the program of the dispensation of grace. The things that were in order back here in the Acts period back here, beginning with the Pentecostal believers then going on, really it all begins back here with John the Baptist in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then is carried on in early Acts in here. And the book of Acts demonstrates why the program that began back there no longer goes on today, but rather through the fall of Israel, salvation has gone to the Gentiles under the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and you'll find what the doctrine about what God's doing today in Romans, if I can write it up there, through Philemon, Paul's epistles. And these books right here describe to you the doctrine about what God Himself is accomplishing today. I want you to understand, the program back here is different from the program in here. And it's a lot. The difference is a lot more than just in the colored chalk I've got on the board. I do that to try to illustrate to you the fact that there are two programs. But the differences in the programs is the key. The different operations of God and the different way God operates. For example, back here, they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus Christ from heaven's glory baptizes these people with the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter number 1. Now this is the thing that people argue and get confused about with regard to what's going on back here. But there's no doubt about what's happening. Get Acts chapter 1 in one hand and Matthew chapter 3. Now you remember we tell you that there are three golden keys to Bible understanding. Number one, take the Bible means what it says and says what it means. Just take it for what it says. Number two, if you want to understand a passage of Scripture, compare it with other passages of Scripture. Compare verse with verse to get the understanding. Don't run to commentary, don't run to scholarship, don't run to tradition, don't run to all of what's always been taught. Go to the rest of the Word of God, find out what it says. And number three, you've got to rightly divide it. We're going to try to rightly divide the Word of Truth here. You've got to make the distinctions between the two programs. That's right division. But if you want to understand what's going on back here, you want to compare it with some other things. I want to go back here and compare it with what John said was going to happen there, and then compare it with the difference about what happens over here. Acts chapter 1, verse number 3, talking about the disciples whom he had chosen, he says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John, back here, John the Baptist, did truly baptize you with water, but ye shall be baptized, watch every word now, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. There ain't any doubt about what he says. These people back here are going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now I want you to notice something, just like John said they would. Now go back with me to Matthew chapter 3, because there's a lot of complaining about that passage in a King James Bible. They say, well, you should be baptized in the Holy Ghost and all that kind of business. And anytime you find somebody trying to prove a point by leaving the King James Bible and going back into something else, it's because he's not been careful to get the light that he could have gotten out of the English text that you can get. You see, if you got to go back and study Greek to get what the Bible really says, if you don't know Greek and I know Greek, and you got to study Greek to get what the Bible really says, where have you got to go to get it? Well, you got to come to me or somebody like me that knows the language. You see, all of a sudden you're limited in your ability to understand the Word of God. And what we try to tell you week after week on this program is that you are not limited. You are only limited by your willingness to believe what God says in the plain English in your Bible. You see, the Bible isn't that hard to understand. The Bible's hard to believe because it tends to run afoul of human tradition and human viewpoint and religious tradition. But if you'll just believe what it says, it's not that hard to understand. You want to understand what that you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost is? Come back to Matthew 3 and you'll see it. It'll iron it out for you. Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist is talking. He said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He, Jesus Christ, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now notice who it is that John says is going to baptize these people. John the Baptist back here says that you people over here are going to be baptized by Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit. So the Lord Jesus Christ up here in heaven at the Father's right hand baptizes these people with the Holy Spirit. In other words, He pours out His Spirit. By the way, He baptizes them with the Spirit, and when He does it, the Bible repeatedly says He pours out of His Spirit. I wonder what the mode of His baptizing them with the Spirit was. Well, the verse with verse says He poured it out on them. Now, I know there's all kind of argument about, well, you ought to be immersing them or you ought to sprinkle them. In this passage, when they're baptized with the Spirit, the mode of their baptism wasn't immersion and it wasn't sprinkling, it was pouring. And so, you know, the denominational brethren get all in a dither about all that. But again, the Bible can shed an awful lot of light on denominational tradition. Now, notice carefully. Jesus Christ from heaven, John says, baptizes them with the Holy Spirit. Now compare that baptism with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, compare that with 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. When the Apostle Paul describes how you and I in the body of Christ are baptized by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now notice, these people over here are baptized by Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit. In here, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. And here, He says, as many of you as have been baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ. Now notice the difference. Just think for a minute about the difference here. These people are baptized by the Lord Jesus with the Spirit. We are baptized by the Spirit into Christ. Now that's different. The people doing the baptizing are different. One place, the Lord Jesus baptizes people. The other place, God the Holy Spirit baptizes people. One place, He baptizes them with the Holy Spirit. The other place, He baptizes us into, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into Christ. I mean, the whole thing's backwards. It's different. There isn't any way that you can read words in an English Bible and mistake the fact that those two things are different. You can't even read words in a Greek Bible and mistake that they're different and think that they're different. You can't miss that unless you want to. Unfortunately, maybe somebody wants to, but the fact is, they're different. The program at Pentecost is different from the program of God today. Now, they have different views about the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come with me, if you will, to Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2. Now, this is important to understand that the way the work of Christ at Calvary was viewed back here is different from the way it's viewed in here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm sorry, I apologize, Acts chapter 2, Acts 2. Acts 2 verse 22, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." They didn't crucify him by faith. They didn't crucify him as a righteous act. They crucified him to get rid of him. With wicked hands they crucified him, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it's not possible that death should hold him. Verse 36, the idea is, you mistook him. You thought he was an imposter. You thought he was a faker. And you with wicked hands tried to get rid of him and kill him, but God raised him up. Therefore, and has set him in his own right hand up here, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this same Jesus that God hath made, this same Jesus whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ. You know what that is? That means the crucifixion's bad news for those guys. They mistook their Messiah and they killed him. They bumped off the wrong guy, if you want to put it that way. God sent them their Messiah, testified and bore witness to him of who he was with his words and with his works. They were everything that God had, the prophets had said would come, he did. And they didn't believe him. They didn't walk by faith and they crucified him. And then God raised him up, set him at his own right hand until he comes back over here in the future over here to make his enemies his footstool. Second Advent back over here, set up his kingdom. The wrath going to destroy his enemies. Now, these people back there got a choice. They crucified the wrong guy. Now what do they got to do? They got to get right. How are they going to get right? They're going to have to repent of that. They're going to have to express their regret and their recognition of their mistake in crucifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, when you begin to read that and you see that the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and his ascension and his session at the Father's right hand is preached back there, it's acknowledged, but it's understood to be something that they were to be ashamed of and that they had to repent for having done. Well, isn't that quite different? Do you remember what Paul says over here? He says that he calls this message the preaching of the cross. And he said, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." Rather than it being something that he's embarrassed about, he says, you know, that thing over there, there's a meaning to that thing that those people didn't know back over there. And God gives Paul the opportunity to reveal the secret meaning of what he was accomplishing through Calvary. Look at Acts chapter 3. Acts 3 and compare that with Romans chapter 5. Acts 3 and Romans 5. And again, here people like to carp about the King James Bible, and yet you're going to find some revelation here about God's purpose in a King James Bible that you better not miss. Acts chapter 3, verse number 19, Peter standing right here. He says, "Repent you therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out." Notice, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. When are these people's sins going to be blotted out? Now understand something. He tells them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." There's no doubt, there's no way to misunderstand that verse. Repent, change your mind about the one you crucified, and be identified with your Messiah by the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. When did those people expect? People say, well, you know, he says baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Be baptized because you have your sins forgiven. No, no, no. No, no, you know, people say, well, that's what it means. No, no, we're going to compare verse with verse and understand what it means by comparing verses, right? Look at chapter 3, verse 19. When did Peter expect their sins to be blotted out? Is he telling them to repent because they have been blotted out, or repent so that they will be? Well, look at the verse. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. When are they going to be blotted out? When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. That's the great day of atonement at the second advent over here of Jesus Christ. You see, this man back here, this Jew back here, had to recognize that he had made a mistake and crucified his Messiah, and that God's wrath was going to be poured out upon the nation because of that, and he needed to repent and identify himself together as the believing remnant through the baptism of repentance, looking unto the day when he'd have his sins forgiven at the great day of atonement. Now, that's an entirely different kind of a salvation message than what Paul preached in here. Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." You know, the difference between going to heaven and going to hell, quoting Scripture, is the difference between thinking your God's program today is in Acts 2 or in Acts 16 with Paul. Now, I know that's kind of blunt. That's just putting it waist high right across the plate where you can get it, but I hope you get it. And I'm trying to be unkind to you. I'm just saying to you, somewhere you need to recognize there's a difference in the program in here. Look at what Paul says in Romans 5:11. I mean, search and see. Don't just take it from me. But don't take it from anybody else either. Get in the Bible and find out for yourself. Romans 5:11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. What Israel has to wait for the great day of atonement out over here, when Jesus Christ shall come back over here, we to have their sins atoned for and blotted out, we have now received the atonement. We've got it now. They have to wait for it. How do we get it now? Because God changed the program and has a different ministry and message operating today. A different salvation message today. It's not repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, but it's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you're saved. So these people over here had a different kind of a salvation message and package than we do in here. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Entirely different kind of a situation. And we're going to study in the next couple of weeks as we go on through the book of Acts, the different program. You remember what they did back in Acts chapter 2? If you go back there just for a minute, in Acts 2, the economic and social order in Acts 2, the program. People talk about, well, we want to go back to Pentecost and be Pentecostal in our doctrine, but nobody tends to want to be Pentecostal in their practice. Well, I know people might want to speak in tongues and, you know, be and some of that kind of stuff and try to do some miracles and stuff, but let's take the real simple stuff that everybody can do. I'm not talking about tongue talking. I'm talking about laying on hands and having miracles. I'm talking about like Acts chapter 2, verse 44. Now, everybody can do this. All that believed, not just some of the folks, but everybody that believed, were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. I mean, there's part of the Pentecostal program. There's part of what God the Holy Spirit led them to do back there. They just sold out and laid it all at the apostles' feet. And they did that, chapter 4, because they, when they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Chapter 4, verse number 32, and a multitude of them that believe were of one heart and one soul, neither said anything that the things that he had were his own, but they had all things in common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus. And they did all of that in verse 31 because they were filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, the sign and the evidence and the mark of being filled with the Spirit was not just talking in tongues. Tongues talking wasn't the only mark back there. The economic and social order where they sold everything they had and had all things in common, that was the order too. That was the kind of social and economic order that they had in operation. But let me tell you something. If you do that today, you know what you'll be doing? You'll be violating the way God has us to operate in here. Now, we'll see that in some detail next week. Just show you one verse today, 1 Timothy 5:8. Paul said, if any man provide not for those of his own household, that is, if you don't work for, he says, if a man doesn't work, don't let him eat. If you don't provide for those of your own household, if you don't give pay the rent and buy the groceries and buy the clothes and take care of your kids and pay your bills and take care of your family, he says in here, you're worse than an infidel. You've denied the faith and are worse than an infidel. And you know what that is? That's different. Back there, he said, consider the lilies. They neither toil nor spin, but God clothes them. Consider the sparrow. They don't have a house. God feeds them. Over here, he says, you better not quit your job. You know what you better do? If you don't work, you don't eat. You know what you do over here? You better take care of your family or you've denied the faith. The program, the doctrine's different in here than it is over there. Over here, they wouldn't have denied the faith doing those things, but over here they would. Why? The content of the faith is different. Different program. Now, it's important to understand this, and I'm not just trying to harp on it. I'm not just trying to beat it in the ground. I'm trying to say to you that there's a difference in God's dealings back here and the way He's working in here. And if you ever want God's work and God's word and God's program to work in your life, you'll have to do it God's way. You and I, you've never been big enough a day in your life to make God do something He isn't going to do. Never have, never will. It just won't work. We have to do it God's way. And you see, friend, maybe you're listening and you're saying, well, preacher, I don't understand all this stuff. I hear you saying that isn't it, this is, and I hear religion saying this is and that isn't and all this stuff. Well, maybe what you need to do is just get saved. Maybe you today need to learn that the program back there isn't your program. The Our Father prayers back there and all that stuff, this is what God's doing today. And in here, the way salvation, the way the forgiveness of sins, the way life everlasting is possessed in here is to him that works not, but to him that believes on him that justified the ungodly, his faith, resting in the finished work of what Jesus Christ did at Calvary when he died to pay for everything that's wrong with you, your faith resting in that means that God counts that for your righteousness. Jesus Christ, my friend, gave his life for you at Calvary, that he might give his life to you when you trust him, that he might live his life through you day by day. Trust him and let him live his life through you by his grace and for his glory. Until next week, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we would like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, The Great Blunder of the Church. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 183. That's tape offer number 183. The Message of Grace is a ministry at Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we would be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.